Psalm 57 is a psalm about faith, fortitude, firmness, and a forward attitude in spite of frustrating, fearful, and fierce circumstances. It is about a man who has a heart that is fixed. This psalm was made to commemorate David's escape from Saul in the cave of En-Gedi, where Saul had entered without knowing that David was there. And David cut off the skirt of Saul's garment while Saul was sleeping. It is not unreasonable that when he found that Saul was providentially delivered into his hand, he might have formed the hasty resolution to take away his life, as his companions had counseled him to do. In that moment, though, came the word to David, "Destroy not, lift not up thy hand against the Lord's anointed." Instead of taking away Saul's life, he contented himself with taking away his skirt to show Saul that he had the power to destroy him if he wanted to do so, but he didn't. After this event, David composed this psalm and gave it the title Al-Tashik, which means destroy not, to commemorate God's warning to him. As we make our way through this chapter, we will deal with the issue of steadfastness and how to be a steadfast Christian that doesn't run out of gas, spiritually speaking. We'll begin by looking at verses 1 through 3 and verse 4 and 6. To the chief musician, Al-Tashik, Miktam of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave, "Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah." David is on the run. Saul is out to destroy him. The question is, why? The answer is jealousy. When Saul heard the people singing, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his ten thousands," he went ballistic. He began to hunt David down like a lion that hunts its prey. You could say that David's circumstances were fearful and frightful, dreadful and hurtful, sorrowful and stressful. Have you ever been in that boat? He was facing some traumatic calamities for sure. In verse 3, he speaks of reproach that would swallow him up. This phrase, "swallow me up," has intense meaning in the Hebrew language. The Hebrew word is sha'af. This word indicates extremity or great intensity. It means to gasp, pant, or breathe heavily, to thirst for blood, or devour, to crush, or to trample to pieces. David's calamities were like vicious wolves. Violence stalked them like a grizzly bear. His problems were so intense that they could easily have consumed him. In fact, he compared his enemies to lions that wanted to devour him. In verse 6, we read that their teeth were like spears, and their words were like swords. Have you ever dealt with that, with people? Their teeth were like spears, and their words were like swords. Have you ever had people like this in your life that viciously opposed you and wanted to destroy you completely? Can you relate to what he is talking about? Have you ever gone through a problem or a trial that was so intense that it engulfed you or overwhelmed you to the point that you boiled, you stewed upon it when you ate, when you slept, when you passed the time of the day? Have you ever felt trapped by your tribulations? You just can't get it out of your mind. If so, you can relate to David and what he's going through. Remember, brothers and sisters, keep in mind that the Psalms has a great amount of doctrine and theology, but the Psalms deals with the heart, deals with the emotions. This was the kind of trauma and stress that David was facing in his life. Yet notice how he responds to this dilemma. He takes his problems to the Lord, and by faith he waits until they will pass. He's determined to trust the Lord with his circumstances and submit to God's care and protection. This is a dominant theme all throughout the scriptures. Approximately 100 verses in the Bible deal with the issue of trusting in the Lord and the consequences of doing or not doing it. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be saved. Proverbs 16:20. He that handles a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Are you unhappy? That's probably because you're not trusting the Lord. Notice in the text it says, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. Yes. Several thoughts that we can gather from this, that we can glean from this. First of all, God's shadow indicates affection or closeness. Brothers and sisters, our God is not a distant God. He's transcendent, but yet he's close, he's nearby. He has affection for us, he has closeness for us. A shadow is not far from the object that is casting the shadow. When you are close to the Lord, you can take refuge in him. When your life is full with sin and hardness, it's difficult to stay in close fellowship with Christ. Sin tends to harden our heart and to cool us off in our spiritual growth. The guilt we experience from our sinfulness causes us to pull back and to hide from the Lord. Even as our first parents, Adam and Eve, did when they hid in the garden. Genesis 3, verses 8 to 10. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. If you want to have a close walk with God, deal with your sin, confess it to the Lord, and get matters right with God. Secondly, excuse me, I beg your pardon. God's shadow also speaks of protection. Shadow offers shade from the heat. When Israel wandered in the wilderness, they were protected by the pillar of cloud and fire. God's presence was in the pillar, and it provided shade during the day and light and warmth on those cold desert nights. God, brothers and sisters, protects us, and nothing can happen to us unless he allows it. or it is a part of His will for our lives. That's the beauty of believing in a sovereign God. You know that nothing can happen to you unless it has been allowed by Almighty God. Even as Satan had to get permission from the Lord to test Job, we can make the Lord the refuge of our lives, knowing that He has planned what's best for us. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. God's shadow not only speaks of protection and affection, but it also speaks of direction. It speaks of direction, John 16, verse 13. How be it when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. God's shadow directs, protects, and there's a closeness. Notice also in our text, David cries out to God in his time of need because he knows that God will perform all things for him. God can do all things. He can perform what needs to be done. What a word in Scripture, God performing for us. This word, performing, is from the Hebrew word gomar, which means to properly bring to an end, to complete, to perfect. The idea here is that the character of God is to complete, perfect, or bring to a happy conclusion all of His plans. That's why all things are working together for good to those that have loved the Lord and are called according to His purposes. Because God is behind all things. David had learned this truth from his experiences in the past. God had done this in his former trials, and he felt assured that God would do it in this predicament also. Therefore, he came to the Lord with a confident belief that all would be safe in God's hand. By faith, he knew that his calamities would also pass, and they would be used for God's purposes. Brothers and sisters, God finishes what He starts when we yield to Him, being confident in this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it. There's that word again. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God finishes what He starts, and it makes it much easier for us when we yield to Him. For those who resist His leading and refuse to submit to His will, then His blessings and His will and His plan are hindered in our life. When a person yields to His working in their life, God can mold that person into the image of His Son. That is His will for us, brothers and sisters. We're being conformed into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. It is God's desire that we be complete in Christ. And for this reason, many times He allows trials to develop our patience. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do, notice, of His good pleasure. Of His good pleasure. That's why in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, it says that we would present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Paul begs you by the tender mercies of God to present your body as a living sacrifice, to no longer be conformed to this world, but to be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you would be able to prove what that good, perfect, and acceptable will is the Lord is. James 1:4, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, want nothing. Let me finish this little teaching with the story of a mule. Once upon a time, a farmer's mule fell into a dry well. When the farmer heard the mule's crying and realized what had happened, he determined that neither the mule nor the well was worth the trouble of saving. Instead, he called his neighbors together and enlisted their help in burying the old mule in the well and putting him out of his misery. Initially, the old mule was very upset, as you would be also. If you were in a deep hole and people started throwing dirt in on top of you. But as the dirt rained down on his back, the old mule had a thought. He decided that every time a shovel of dirt landed on his back, he would shake it off and step up. And that's what he did. As the dirt cascaded down the well, the old mule kept shaking it off and stepping up. Hours later, the exhausted mule finally stepped over the wall of the well. What was meant to bury him actually helped him. Brothers and sisters, somehow, our trials help us also. For God is working all things together. All things together for our good, to conform us into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And my friends, if you're listening today, this would not apply to you if you're not born again, if you're not regenerated, if you're not a child of God. These promises are for the children of God. But the good news of the gospel is that you can become a child of God. If you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you too shall be saved. Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You need to be born again. You say, "Sir, but how am I born again?" You come to Jesus Christ for salvation. You repent of the thought that somehow you can earn God's favor. For no one can earn God's favor, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The only one that ever earned God's favor was the Lord Jesus Christ, for He kept the law of God perfectly in every detail of it. And He was able to propitiate, to atone for our sins by His perfect obedience to the law and His crucifixion, His shedding of blood, the Lamb being slain, even as John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." My friend, if you're listening today, only Jesus Christ can take away your sin. No one else. You cannot be good enough. You cannot make enough vows. You cannot repent enough. You cannot cry enough. You cannot do anything enough except believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved.